Rogues, true stories of grifters, killers, rebels, and crooks. This is the author, Patrick Radden Keefe. To Justina. Preface. One of the stranger moments in my career as a magazine journalist was a phone call in May 2014. I had just published The Hunt for El Chapo, an article in The New Yorker about the criminal career and eventual capture of the fugitive Mexican drug baron Joaquin Guzman Loera, and I got a voicemail in the office from an attorney who said that he represented the Guzman family. This was, to put it mildly, alarming. I had developed a minor specialty over the years in what editors call the write-around, an article about a subject who declines to grant an interview. Some journalists hate write-arounds, but I've always enjoyed the challenge they pose. It takes a lot of creative reporting to produce a vivid portrait of someone without ever getting to speak to them. But these pieces are often more revealing than the scripted encounters you end up with when the politician or the CEO actually cooperates. When I wrote about the reality TV producer Mark Burnett, he wouldn't talk to me, but he had two ex-wives who did. And in the end, I think I learned more about Burnett from speaking to them than I would have from Burnett himself. In the case of El Chapo, the drug lord was locked up in a Mexican prison by the time I started my piece and not giving interviews. So I had taken it for granted that he wouldn't be sitting down with me. Nor did I ever entertain the notion that when the article came out, he might read it. Despite running a multi-billion-dollar narco conglomerate, he was said to be practically illiterate. Even if he could read, he didn't strike me as a New Yorker subscriber. But when my article was published, it contained a series of revelations that were subsequently picked up in the Mexican press. So somehow, it must have come to his attention. I waited a while before calling the lawyer back. I figured that he would probably raise objections to some detail or other in the piece, and worried that it might be the passage in which I revealed that El Chapo was a prodigious consumer of Viagra. I spoke to a source of mine who made some discreet inquiries and was able to confirm that this attorney really did work for the Guzman family. "Just call him up. I'm sure it's no big deal," my source said. Then he added, "But use your work phone and never, under any circumstances, give them your home address." Summoning my nerve, I called the lawyer back. He spoke with an accent, in a starchy, formal idiom, and when I told him, as casually as possible, that it was Patrick Keefe from The New Yorker, he announced, with an almost theatrical seriousness, "We have read your article." "Oh," I said, bracing. "It was," dramatic pause, "very interesting." "Oh," I blurted. "Thank you. I'll take interesting. Could be worse." "El señor," he began, before lapsing into another pregnant pause, "is ready." Seconds ticking by, I clutched the phone, my heart hammering, "to write his memoirs." In advance of the phone call, I had gamed out the conversation like a high school debater. If he says this, I'll say that. I'd prepared for every contingency, every direction the discussion might take. But not this one. "Well," I stammered, floundering for something remotely coherent to say, "that's a book I would love to read." "But sir," the lawyer interjected, "is it a book you would like to write?" I confess that when the opportunity to ghostwrite El Chapo's memoir was first presented, I did give it a moment of serious consideration. During his years on the run, he had become an almost mythical figure. And as a journalist, the idea that I might get to hear his story in his own words was genuinely tantalizing. But before getting off the phone that day, I had already declined the offer. Guzman was responsible, directly and indirectly, for thousands of murders, maybe tens of thousands. There would be no way to accurately write his story that did not explore that side of things.